Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. Download their app today and use promo code THEGAME. ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck joins us now. Tim, for the first time in 10 months, we are talking about a Tennessee Titans win, and it feels good. The Titans get the win in overtime against the Chargers at home on Sunday. The offense was just so much more efficient. They all looked just so much more confident this week, contrasted to a brutal day offensively in New Orleans. What was the biggest difference, in your opinion, from week one to week two offensively?
You know, I think hitting on some big plays, it's just amazing how, like, hitting on a couple big plays just changes, you know, the feel of things. And obviously, like, Ryan's day was significantly better. I mean, I think the ball hit the ground four times, which it's always good when that happens. But there just is – there's a totally different feel offensively, you know, besides, like, the efficiency of the passing game, like, when you hit on big plays. And, you know, you don't – kind of know when they're going to happen, and sometimes you can just miss them. But when you hit them, it just the feel, the energy for your offense, you know, flipping the field in terms of, you know, just how you don't feel like you're playing uphill the whole time. I think that probably is the biggest thing, and honestly, a huge sign of encouragement. And, you know, in fairness, too, as we kind of start the season and we see teams, you know, struggle against certain defenses. You know, like, maybe it's a scenario where you got to say, look, you know, hey, the Saints have put two good weeks in a row playing defense. You look around the league and you say, look, playing against Dallas's defense might be a challenge. And so I think those things can also happen where, you know, our perspective on a certain performance can change.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us. Tim, what did you make of really over the last 2 weeks, both against the Saints and the Chargers, Derrick Henry's usage and how efficient he's been?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it can be, again, I think some of this goes back to, you know, if you're having success. I mean, we talked last week about, you know, getting him going and, you know, were you getting enough push to, you know, to get him past the line of scrimmage to really feel like, you know, he can have an impact. And it didn't feel like last week that, meaning like week one, that was a thing. Look, 25 attempts in week two. Like, I think you feel much better about the fact that, look, like, we're giving him the football. Saying all of that, look, you know, averaging less than 3.5 yards per carry is probably not what's envisioned. And I think, look, running the ball in the NFL, there's going to be weeks that are like that. So, but I do think that with how the offense is structured, people's general tendency to want to feel like they have to stop him each and every week when they're preparing to play the Titans. I do think it's significant that, look, at a minimum, there's a really strong effort to get him the football a lot.
Well, we're talking with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. Now, Tim, staying on the running back position, do you, because the game, you know, it did look different, but I'm with you. You know, the difference is, you know, completing those passes down the field, which Ryan Tannehill didn't do last week. And then one of the other differences was how he distributed the ball to each and every receiver. He just didn't lock on one guy. Before I talk about the running backs, but how difficult or not difficult is that for a quarterback that in week one, you targeted one individual, you know, 13 mm-hmm. times, and then having to come back in week two and sort of change what you do in regards to distribution of the ball?
Yeah, I think in regards to distribution of the ball, and I think that I think when you see seven or more guys have receptions, and Ryan targeted eight different players in the game on Sunday, but when you have seven or more guys catch the football, what that means to me is the quarterback is seeing it right. Because, you know, as much as you design a play and there's always a primary receiver and then there's the number two guy in the progression and you know, there are different ways to read things. But ultimately, look, if you're releasing five guys out into the route, like you're, you know, there's a chance that any five could get the football. And obviously every time you throw the football, you're not, you know, getting five guys out into the concept. But ultimately what happens is you're trying to get somebody open. Like one of the best ways I think I could say it is this. Like on every pass play, you're actually not trying to get everybody open. You're trying to get somebody open at the right time when the quarterback's ready to throw him the football. And so when I see a quarterback that is spreading the football around, that to me means he's seeing it well. So like this would be a good example. Ryan completes it to seven different guys. Like he's seeing it better than I probably would say that he saw it the first week, or he had enough time to get through it than he did the first week. You look at the Sunday night game, Tua, like he completed the ball to nine different receivers, I believe, on Sunday night. And it was like, look, he wasn't locking into one guy. And Tyreek Hill was getting treated a little bit differently. And because of that, like the ball had to go other places. And that ended up being a really good thing for Miami.
Now, with the running back situation, do you believe the Titans are better effective, offensively, if they get both Tajay Spears and Derrick Henry involved in the game? Because obviously Derrick's going to have the bulk of the carries. But in today's offense, you got to have that other back that can come in and get you some positive plays. And it seems like Tajay Spears is that guy that can get to those holes quicker, whereas Derrick Henry at this point of his career, he gets to him, but it's not as quick as he used to.
Yeah, here's what I feel like is brewing, and I don't want to regret saying this, but I feel like it. I'll be glad I said it if I still feel this way in 2 weeks. So here's what I think. Remember the conversation in Dallas. Mm-hmm. Who are we better off with? Who are we better off with? Is it Zeke? Is it Tony Pollard? Because, man, when Pollard comes in the game, it just looks like he's got fresh legs. It looks like he's faster. It looks like I do feel like you see that. Now, saying all of that, like we got to remember, like Ezekiel Elliott had like 22 touchdown rushes in his last 2 years in Dallas.
Right.
So, like, even though Tony Pollard, it was like, oh, golly, like you kind of have to be blind not to see it. Like, it didn't mean that, like, they didn't need Zeke to be what Zeke was. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, so, like, I think that there are times – and, look, I think that there have been times throughout Derrick Henry's career where I've watched him and I've thought, golly, like, for a guy that big, man, it doesn't look like he's hitting it that fast or that hitting the hole that hard. And now I think some of that is – just his build. I think some of that's his style. And I think that, you know, you've got to be comfortable with that. But yeah, I don't think there's any question that it looks different.
More with ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck coming up next. Caroline, Willie, DeMace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. I'm bringing Hasselbeck. Caroline, Willie, DeMace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck is with us now.
All right, Tim, coming up the next 2 weeks, the Titans have the Ohio teams. So let me hit you with a question on each of their quarterbacks. First of all, we all watched Deshaun Watson last night. DeMace was talking about this in the first hour. Why do you think he still is struggling to look anything like the quarterback he was before all let's just call it the stuff, right? There's a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we know about the stuff, but why is it rust? What's keeping him from looking like a first-rate quarterback?
Yeah, I think that I'm sure that there are these two factors, which would be, yeah, time off, so rust, and then honestly, probably like an element of like confidence and leadership, just from the standpoint of. Like, I don't think there was anybody that didn't view him. I mean, his story was remarkable, you know, growing up in one of the homes that Warwick Dunn had built and, you know, kind of what he had overcome and then who, just how everyone perceived him. Like, I think, like, he felt like everybody was looking up to him, right? Now he probably feels like he's being judged quite a bit. Like, I think that there's no shot that that doesn't affect your confidence in some at some level. And then I think, you know, the other aspect of it, more of an X and O's perspective, is, look, when he was in Houston, there was a lot of empty, spread it out, Bill O'Brien, like, you know, option routes with stuff in behind it, like concepts. And, you know, in Cleveland, it is an offense that, you know, going to be under center a little bit more. You're going to have, you know, the offense revolve much more around the run game and stuff that comes off of the run game. And I don't know that he's ever looked completely confident or comfortable in that. And so I think those three factors would be the things that I would say, how does a guy go from being a top five quarterback to a guy that just doesn't seem like it's working?
With Chubb out, do you think they'll change and do a little bit more of what you're saying, play to his strengths and put it more on him going forward?
Yeah, I would think so. But look, I would have said to you, look, with the money that's been guaranteed to him and how they're invested and locked into Deshaun Watson being their quarterback, and the fact that if Kevin Stefanski does not win this year, he's probably getting fired. I would have guessed that even with Nick Chubb, they said, all right, like, we're going to live in empty and you're going to do the things that you were really good at doing when you were in Houston. And they didn't do that. So, like, my answer, Willie, would be like, yeah, I would have thought they would have been doing that already. So I would think they would, but I would have thought they would have before too.
Yeah, that'll be an interesting game plan to see if they look much different on Sunday. Now let's go to the southern part of Ohio here with Joe Burrow. If you're a Bengals fan, you have to be concerned when you're seeing him at the end of the game really working that calf, and you can tell he's maybe not throwing the ball quite the same way. He's not sliding around in the pocket as well. Like, since he's been there, he is used to having to shuffle in the pocket, not get great protection. So how much are you seeing of that, and how concerned should the Bengals fans be?
He is as slippery of a quarterback that exists in the NFL in the pocket. And so, like, look, he's never run like Lamar Jackson. He's not, you know, they don't use him in design runs like the way Josh Allen is used. But in terms of just being slippery to get out of stuff to create offense, I think that's one of the things about his game that nobody talks about. I mean, he doesn't just sit in the pocket and make plays. I mean, he creates a ton of offense, and he has not moved the same. And look, I think he re-injured himself on the last play of that game, which I think he's going to miss a month. Like I'm not reporting this, but like, I think he's missing a month of football. And then the other thing that I think has happened is, and whether it's people are saying like, hey, let's see if he's right, is they have not come after him. They've basically said, look, we're going to rush 3 and 4. This is what Baltimore did this last weekend. We're going to rush 3 and 4, and we're playing coverage. And we are not going to get up and challenge and play man-to-man against three good receivers, because chances are one of them is better than our first, second, or third corner. And so by doing that, it's kept him in the pocket, and they don't have a great offensive line. And so when you're getting home with 3 and 4 and you can play coverage, now you're not giving up the big plays and you don't have a quarterback that's able to escape.
Wow. This could be an interesting opportunity for the Titans if they're still dealing with this, either him not being available or compromised again. They play the Bengals in 2 weeks. I mean, that's a game everybody's circling. Like, well, I don't know if they can beat the Bengals, but you see how things can change.
Here's the deal. He pretty much was like, he was not hampered necessarily from, like, he's not limping around. The last offensive play for Cincinnati, I think it grabs him again. I think he redoes it. Immediately go, like, limps off the field, immediately goes over, and he's got the Theragun on his calf. He never comes back out. And then as he's walking off the field after the game, he says something about his mom's fire truck, and he limps to the other side of the field, okay? Like, he was hurt. And so I just think that And then the way he addressed it after the game, I think he's going to miss a lot of time.
Well, that will not be good for the Bengals, considering, you know, their division and how tough it is. They need everybody on board right now. If they don't have their quarterback, it's going to be very difficult for them to win. Looking at these young quarterbacks, that's in the division, AFC South, Richardson and C.J. Stroud. Now, Richardson goes out with a concussion, but he was playing okay before he got put out. C.J. Stroud ended up playing a really good game, but that team's just not at a point where they need more than just a quarterback to play well. How do you evaluate these two quarterbacks after two games?
Yeah, I would say this. I think you're exactly right on Stroud. It's just not a great football team there, but you can kind of see some of the stuff with him, like some of the throws that he's made. Honestly, he's a really gifted thrower of the football. And so I think for him, you know, this year is going to be about kind of weathering some of the storms of being overmatched a lot of the time. So I feel like I've seen from him so far, but I think there's been enough things that you could be encouraged. You know, for Richardson, he's actually played significantly better than I would have anticipated him playing. Now, part of that is, you know, his running is such a threat and so good, and that I think you kind of always knew that that would translate. He'll make mistakes in the passing game. There'll probably be some things that they don't do with him, but I think you're going to be able to stay on schedule with him because of the way he's able to run. You know, the fear you have with running your quarterback is, and I feel like, you know, I've said this a lot, and this applies whether it's Josh Allen or whether it's Richardson. I do think it's hard to be somebody that runs the football a lot and be a really accurate passer. It's just hard. I mean, it's like asking you to run a go route, a post route, you know, run a corner route, and then come back and we're going to throw you a screen. Like, be a great, you know, runner with the ball in your hands. It's like, well, it's hard now. So I think that'd be my one fear with Richardson is, like, you know, you run him too much. Like, what is that going to mean for him as a passer?
Tim Hasselbeck is with us, ESPN NFL analyst. Tim, we picked the games, we picked the divisions, we picked our Super Bowl favorites at the beginning of the season, and D-Mays picked Miami to win the Super Bowl, and I thought he was crazy. Oh. I thought that he bonked his head coming into the station that day. It's looking like that's not a bad pick, and I know we're only 2 weeks in, I know that crazy things happen in the National Football League, but are the Dolphins the best offense in the AFC?
Oh, they are maybe the most fun to watch right now. Are they the best offense? They have so much speed. I feel like they're going to be up there. Look, I think Mahomes and Kansas City, like, I think they'll get it together, and I think those receivers around Mahomes, and if, you know, Kelsey's in the lineup consistently, that's going to be a really, really good football team, and that's going to be a really good offense. But I just feel like, you know, Miami's speed on offense is a real thing. And then Mike McDaniel is very creative. He, to me, is as creative, if not more, than Kyle Shanahan. And that's a very encouraging thing for what that offense should look like, you know, for the entire season. And by the way, can I just say this, though, Caroline? Like, that to me is just like, that's like Wiley veteran Derek Mason. Okay? He's like, yeah, it's Miami, right? And so if Miami wins it all, like, you know, he's going to throw a parade.
No question. Huge,
like,
parade.
Hey, run that sound back, run that sound back. But if Tua gets hurt, he's going to be like, oh, it's not my fault. The guy got hurt.
Hey, you can't control an injury.
Hey, we all know if the quarterback goes down, your chances of winning goes down.
Oh my God. Like, this dude just, like, he heads this thing so perfectly. Yeah. It's like, yeah, I'm in my 15th year kind of call right now.
Yeah, it's a wily vet move, no question. Tim, I want to ask you one more about the Chargers, because the national narrative, you know, if you flip on a national podcast, you flip on ESPN, NFL Network, it's much less about, hey, Titans, big win, had to have it. It's much more shaded towards, up, the Chargers are 0-2. They did it again. They keep losing the close games. What is the deal over there? We had a theory yesterday. It mostly goes towards Staley, right? The organization, the history. Staley's probably not a good. He goes for it too much, all of this stuff. But what are you seeing with Herbert? Because there's a moment in that game where they have the ball at the end of regulation. He's coming down the field pretty easily, and the Titans are hanging on. If it's a touchdown, it's game over. If it's Brady, if it's Manning, if it's the greats, more often than not, they get you there, right? They've got you.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so many games where they are coming up short. How much is it really? How much should the discussion be shifting a little bit more towards Herbert?
I gotta be honest, like watching him, I feel like he's playing great. He's got a brand new offensive coordinator. He's throwing touchdowns. He's not turning it over. He's completing a high percentage of his passes. He's like, I feel like he's playing great. And so, like, in some of these moments, like, can we look at it? And to your point of being like, yeah, those guys, you know, they found ways to win. But, like, I think that some of that is, like, how we view those guys. Like, I mean, look, we saw Aaron Rodgers, you know, in a bunch of comebacks. But we also saw Aaron Rodgers fail on some comebacks. Like, mm-hmm. And we saw the same thing with Brady and Manning. And we've seen the same thing with Mahomes. Like, I think because, like, we've seen them do it, like, we then, you know, sometimes say, well, it happens every time. And, you know, that's just, you know, like that's just not the case. That's not how it's happened. I have to say, and I can't sit here and say, like, you know, there's been these game management decisions that have been bothersome, you know, on Staley. But look, at some point, like, if you have a new offensive coordinator and you're rolling offensively and you have a defense, which is your specialty, that's littered with the talent that it's littered with, like, at some point, like, don't you also have to come up with a stop? Like, at some point, don't you have to, like, find a way to get another possession or get off the field, you know, a series earlier, like whatever it is. Like, I think the heat's on him. I thought the heat was on him last year. I thought there was a chance he was going to get fired last year. And I think to kind of put a ball on it, like, and I think why people are talking about them being 0-2 versus the impressive win from the Titans is the expectations were that they should be right there with Kansas City, and they just aren't.
Last one for you, Tim, quickly before we let you go. Transitioning to college football, is Tennessee's problem Joe Milton or the field?
Well, I would say this, and I think you've seen it a little bit in college football in general at a lot of big programs. And you guys heard me talk about Hendon Hooker getting ready for the draft. He's a really good player. I had a bunch of his games at Virginia Tech. He is an excellent football player. And, you know, just because somebody has more physical tools than the guy that he's replacing doesn't mean he's actually a better player at the position. And so I think there's an element of that. I think there's an element of, look, lost some other good players, namely at receiver. And so I think that becomes a factor. So I feel like I see it every week. I'll give you an example. I'm calling North Carolina Pitt this weekend. Okay. Pitt, since Kenny Pickett left, has replaced Kenny Pickett with guys that are arguably more talented, but they're a fraction of the player. And, you know, conversely, North Carolina replaced Sam Howell with a kid that I think is as talented as anybody that I've seen at quarterback in the 15 years I've been at ESPN. Wow. I think should be the number one overall pick, like, in Drake May. Like, I think he is a perfect prospect. So they lose Sam Howell, who's a pro player, but they replaced him with somebody that I think is Andrew Luck plus. So, I think there is an element of that in college football where we think, like, oh, high recruited player, a lot of talent, like, you know, just swap him out for it. And it's like, well, like, but how is he at playing the position? I think that matters a lot.
Tim, appreciate you for stopping by as always. We'll chat with you next week.
All right, see you guys.
Awesome. Thanks, Tim. ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck. He is the very best. We'll react to what he had to say there. A tough one for Tennessee in the Swamp this past weekend. But what's the problem? We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, DeMace, we are brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.